This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Give it a couple of months, but the U.S. Supreme Court will decide the fate of the Reproductive Fact Act, a state law in California. The court heard oral arguments for and against the law last week. Abortion is at the heart of the debate. Any licensed clinic performing reproductive services has to post a sign informing patients that there are public programs providing free or low-cost access to reproductive services, including abortion. Public information, say supporters. Forced speech, say opponents. We'll hear from an opponent today. Brian Johnston is the chair at the California Pro-Life Council. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, pleasure.
What is your major argument against the law?
Well, two things. First of all, the actual facts about what a human abortion is. I mean, it's not a canine abortion. These are human abortions. And, of course, the FACT Act is intellectually dishonest, giving itself that name, rather self-congratulatorily. And really, the position of the pro-life movement is that the actual nature of a human being is to be regarded with regard, it's earned, you might say, to Western civilization, that you just don't dispose of human beings regardless of their condition or your power over them. But most importantly, I agree with Justice Kagan, who is a pro-choice justice, that the fact that you're forcing particular clinics, your description, unfortunately, I know you took a shot at it, isn't quite accurate in what the Reproductive Fact Act.
All right, set me straight.
It actually targets, believe it or not, those services provided by people who believe in the value of human life. And so it doesn't require every clinic in California. Ironically, as Justice Kagan points out, well, this seems a little bit gerrymandered. It's only forcing pro-life clinics to promote abortion, to put a sign up, and to tell a young woman, hey, before I can say anything to you, I have to let you know you get a free abortion right down the street. Here's the address of the abortion clinic. Now, that is, as that was interesting words, but I think she's right. Justice Kagan said that's gerrymandering the law specifically against information that you personally don't like. We
there
know the California legislature. Sorry.
All right. The law only contains two categories, a licensed covered facility and unlicensed covered facility, and the noticing requirements are different for each. So how do you see it as gerrymandered? I mean, any clinic that has a medical provider who has a license has to put up the information about abortion. If there's no licensed provider, then the noticing is different. It doesn't mention the word abortion.
Well, say again, this isn't what, if you're talking about the court case that went before the United States Supreme Court.
Right. The California FACT Act, the Freedom, Accountability, Comprehensive Care, and Transparency Act, AB 775.
We talked about the nature of the language and the language that was used. Yes. Yeah, that was, as I said, Justice Kagan. And again, other justices pointed out that, well, this is targeted specifically at pro-life things. The way the law is written, the suggestion is only targeting licensed clinics. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. It, the fact is, no, the way the language is written, it actually is applicable only to pro-life clinics because there's exclusions for other entities. It doesn't require every health facility in California that might be involved with women. It doesn't require them to promote abortion. It specifically is targeted at what is seen as politically incorrect in our very, very tolerant culture. It's politically incorrect to not embrace abortion because, you know, that's a choice. It's just an arbitrary choice, and somehow if you disagree with that, that's wrong. So we have to force these people to say certain things. And so there is, of course, the issue of abortion, but more on the point is forced government speech, and targeted specifically at those with whom one disagrees. And the California legislature is very, very clear. It's the most advanced legislature in the world. And therefore, this knowledge that they have as wise and Solonic lawmakers to push a view of national socialized medicine, a view of human beings as disposable at certain ages, this has to be the law in California. Well, thankfully, the United States Supreme Court recognizes that, no, California really still is part of the United States, and the Constitution's right to free speech still exists, and it looks pretty clear if you saw the oral arguments. They're very disinclined to the jackbooted identity that if you get to make laws, we're going to force you to say whatever we want. They don't do it to Jefferson Public Radio. And if they did, you'd be one of the first to be very, very bothered.
Brian Johnston is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the chair of the California Pro-Life Council in opposition to the California Reproductive Fact Act passed in the 2015-2016 session of the legislature. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You have referred a couple times, though, to the singling out clinics. And as I look at the law, it's directly in front of me. It seems like any place that has a licensed medical provider that is providing reproductive services, so that means whether they provide abortions or don't, they have to post the sign.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me right now. I was there when they voted on it. And it's pretty clear that this is an ideologically based law. I refer you, though, because of the nature of the law, it is specifically aimed at what is essentially 97 facilities in California. So there are exclusions within the law, and if you have the entirety of the law in front of you, are just the summation. Again, what I've noticed, and this is, I'm not blaming you, but I have noticed being around lawmakers, that they summarize what's in the law, yet there's a lot more there than meets the eye. And in terms of its execution, it is targeted those who disagree with the politically correct zeitgeist that, hey, abortion is something we really worship. I mean, that's essential to our culture.
All right, you mentioned 97
clinics. Right,
all right, Brian, you mentioned 97 clinics that are targeted. So what kinds of services are these clinics provide? Are these the so-called CPCs, the crisis pregnancy centers?
Yes, that's right. In other words, they provide alternatives to abortion. So if you have somebody who provides an alternative to abortion, let's say Jefferson Exchange wants to provide an actual alternative to political correctness, and you actually want to provide information that goes deeper in depth, that has a little bit farther reach in terms of its explanation than the typical pop culture media. Let's say you wanted to do that, but the government of California said, no, on these topics, you must obey what we believe to be the politically correct statements. You must make.
Is that a German accent? Are you doing a German accent?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry it was. Because the fact is, for most Americans, it's the most palpable example of government-forced speech. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court said regarding this. So that's why I did, because I find that very often people aren't willing to look at the actual facts. For example, as I said, if this really was about reproductive facts, if that's really what the state of California, the lawmakers who have pledged themselves to Planned Parenthood, that make money from Planned Parenthood, that are funded by Planned Parenthood, if they really wanted to talk about reproductive facts, is that really what this is? Is it really?
All right. So if for example, you want to provide counseling services that do not involve any sort of medical stuff, you could go as an unlicensed facility, and the noticing requirements under the law are different. It simply says this facility is not licensed as a medical facility by the state of California and has no licensed medical provider who provides or directly supervises the provision of services, which doesn't mention the word abortion. I mean, that's an option, isn't it?
Here's the thing. Is that really when a young woman is pregnant, she is a mother. So these are young mothers.
Okay, let me come back to that because you mentioned this right off the bat about human beings. So is it human beings just from the moment of conception? Is that your perception?
No, actually, that's a good question. And that question should be examined. I mean, it really should. But I'm not thinking that the culture does. I know the state legislators in California don't think that way. But it is an issue that has been examined. In Roe v. Wade, when it was examined, and the reason that became a huge issue, see, every state had laws regarding abortion up until 1973, even California and New York and Massachusetts. They also had laws. Now, those states had laws that said after 20 weeks, I think New York's was 23 weeks, you can't kill that kid. I mean, so they were saying that. I wasn't saying that. That was actually the law, and those were lawmakers saying that. So this is an issue that's been examined. Before that time, in California, for example, they said, you know, if you are going to kill that kid, excuse me for using the pedestrian language, but that's a human being, so we'll call it a kid. Before you have a human abortion, there better be a dang good reason. And the reasons in California were rape, incest, life of the mother, severe fetal deformity. At least they have reasons. Under choice, and this is what Roe v. Wade did, and you know that phrase, choice, pretty popular phrase. Choice means, no, we want to have abortions, human abortions. We don't need any reason. You can have an abortion at any time for any reason or no reason in particular. This is choice. And so that is the result of Roe v. Wade, because in Roe, Justice Blackmun said, we don't know when life begins. That's just sheer conjecture. Of course, he was being intellectually dishonest because science does tell us when life begins. The question is, what do we want to do about that? So that's a great question. And I'm glad we're talking about that on public radio, because it usually doesn't get talked about on public radio, or, again, if you're part of the zeitgeist and what's really cool in the culture.
All right. So Brian, we only have about 2 minutes left. Having listened to the oral arguments, as you appear to have done, are you fairly confident that the California FACT Act will be overturned when the Supreme Court issues its ruling, probably in June?
I think that's pretty clear, because the freedom of speech is pretty important. And even people who, you know, who don't like abortion, there's a lot of entities that say, you know, this goes a little bit draconian. And so that's the issue that we have, is that. And again, I'm sorry to refer to past German laws, but in point of fact, that's the reason we condemn Germany. We don't condemn Germany for invading France or Poland, or we condemn them for killing human beings, their own human beings, and that's what the Nuremberg trials were about. So, yeah, I think we need to be refreshed on the nature of Western civilization and the idea that human beings have value. That's what Western civilization is based on.
Okay, so final question here, because we're almost out of time.
Sure.
One of the issues here is about whether the crisis pregnancy centers, or the CPCs, were giving the correct information. One of the things the legislators mentioned is that one of their goals in creating the law in the first place was to make sure that they were making sure that people knew what they were getting when they walked in the door. In your opinion, are they putting out the correct information now?
Well, I hate to refer back to what correct information might be. So, you know, this is a problem, I think, that you must do only give correct information. I think it is correct that if they have sonogram machines, which, by the way, the California legislature is terrified of sonogram machines. Mm-hmm. Some states require that be offered to young women. That's correct information.
All right. Brian Johnston is the chair of the California Pro-Life Council. Thanks for joining us today. NARAL Pro-Choice California has indicated as of this morning a desire to come back on the show to talk about their point of view of this as well. Thanks for joining us, Brian. Take it easy.